God gave me an interesting word, and I believe that church started to grow up and become more mature, and God starts sharing some revelations, some deeper revelations, and the things that made me who I am. And from this year on, I started teaching the sermons that many years ago I wanted to teach, but I could not, because I cannot give you the sermons that are from the fifth grade sermons if you're still in the first grade. So we needed to get straight with religion and the whole nine yards. And right now we can work in the realm where we grew up, and we understand, you know, for certain things we have to pay a price. You have to become someone. So the sermon, it'll concern those people who want to attain success in the Lord. My loved ones, if we want to take certain position, we want to be successful in that position. Who wants to be successful in that position? Practically everyone. There are no people who wanted to do something for God, dream about something, be in some ministry, and say, "Oh well, it's okay, you know, it's okay, you know, the level is fine." No, we must do everything as for the Lord, and from everything, we just must do everything professionally, universally, and beautifully. God doesn't like the bad sacrifice. We must give everything best for God, everything that's the best. So today we'll talk about what anointing does to anointed people, and what makes one person successful and not. Today we're going to talk about sermon, which I called Glory with No Sacrifice. Glory with No Sacrifice. You know that all people in this world that walk under God, they have a root of some glory in them. Without success, without glory, we are nothing in this world. So whatever you do, there is part of glory. And today I want to share with you the thought that how to make it so the level of your glory would grow up in your life. How to make it so the success would come into your life. People just don't understand how to come from this condition into the other condition. And today I will open another side of this big sermon. I will keep moving in the process of maybe a few years, and I reveal more and more to you. But today I want to talk about this particular part, about what makes one person who reads from the same Bible and preaches from the same pulpit and dresses in the same clothes makes him successful in his ministry, supernatural, but the other person is just wasting air and nothing is happening in his life. What is this? Why is it happening like this? Why do we meet some people that all their life they trust their life with God, but you never heard of them, and nobody sees them or want to see them? Why? Not because it's a bad person, no, because something in his life was not made right. Something was not set straight. Something was not finished in his life that would make him like the or made him remain on the same place for years. So what makes person anointed? What makes God answer prayers is the hunger. Today we're going to walk into this. We're going to talk about this. Sir, we're going to talk about hunger. We're going to talk about hunger. What if I don't have a hunger for God? How to receive it? How to make myself from not hungry to become hungry? What needs to happen? What chemical reaction must take place in my spirit? From this condition where I don't want anything to become hungry. You want to know this? We want to be successful. Today I will talk about what made me myself. And in the process of these different sermons, different times, God will bring me back to the sermons, because this sermon is very important for those who is trying to get into a ministry, not just into ministry, but to get into a ministry that something to leave in this world, when you leave this world, so your name would be known to millions, not because you were a great football player, but because million people were changed, because thousands and thousands of people you touched with your testimonial or your prayer, or maybe you wrote a song that people, when listen to it, it changes their life. You understand? Something must remain. Something needs to happen in order for this to take place. And this, what brings God down from heaven? It's the hunger. You and I know one secret. If some people say, you heard such a phrase, everything is from God. Everything is from God. You know, there are realms there that is from God, and there's some realms where it's not from God. And my loved ones, some people say everything is in the hands of the Lord. No, my loved ones, not everything. In the hands of the Lord is my life when I gave it to Him. My health and the security, you know, even my piece of hair will not fall from my head without God's will. And I know that this part of life is in the Lord's hands, but my ministry, it's not. It's in my hands. Otherwise, if everything was in God's hands, then the whole world would be in God's revival. And we will be in that time. It's going to be called the 1,000-year kingdom. And where God will show the world what the world's supposed to be without sin. That's where they're going to rule. In that future time where the revelation discovers. I'm not going to talk about it. This is not what I'm talking about. I'm just saying if Jesus and God, He had everything in His hands, then this world would not be the way it is right now. Why do we see in one state everybody's going there? Because there's a revival, the glory of God. There's rivers of Holy Spirit and deliverance. But why doesn't it take place here? Well, if everything is in the hands of the Lord, then what? Maybe God loves somebody more than somebody else? No. Something happened over there that brought Him from heaven. Someone was there who got God's attention. And my loved ones, what attracts God's attention? It's your hunger. Your hunger. Small example. Guys, remember when you try to attract girls' attentions. Is that a funny picture? Practically, if you sit right now with your wife or with your future wife or with your girl who you want to marry, you know that she doesn't sit with you because, you know, here you were walking and she saw you and she stood right next to you and you came to church together and sat next to each other. You know, she looked at you, looked at her, and all of a sudden you just start walking together and... No, it's nonsense. It doesn't happen. Something you have done, you've done something that attracted her attention and she kind of thought out. Sometimes we make ourselves look like idiots. You go to a store, you know, you buy flowers and you're too embarrassed to pay for them in the cashiers and you don't know how to carry them. You look like an idiot and, you know, you're sweating. Guys, am I the only one here or what? I understand. But I remember always you feel yourself very discomfortable when you try to attract girls' attention. You don't feel right. But you want to attract her attention and you are ready to make yourself look like a fool, you know. So, you know, see, just to make a, you're ready to make a fool out of yourself just to attract her attention. And so, just so she can say, oh, you know, it's so sweet. He's the best. Well, of course he's not the best. He's just a regular, normal guy, just like the rest of them. Only he got your attention. And before, you know, his nose didn't look right, but now his nose is so cute. You know, he's a guy like a regular guy. You know, but she says, oh, he's so nice. What all of a sudden transformed him into a big ears, big nose, into such a handsome guy? Because he got your attention, and you started looking at him in a different way. You know what? His hunger to be with you attracted you. His, you know, maybe he's a little crazy when he's trying to get your attention, you know, but maybe some of his mistakes, and he's all shaken, and the girl sees it, and she likes it. And this is the way men and women are created. So, or, you know, some person like drives a car and try, you know, we guys, we're so funny. You know, I can tell you story after story, hour after hour, how men can make themselves look like fools just to get women's attention. My loved ones, how do we get a boss's attention? We want to get a pay raise and we want to get more money. We don't go to the boss and say, you know, I'm so tired of you and this job is garbage and, you know, I don't get paid much. Please give me at least another dollar of raise because I'm like dying in this position. No, you start working. When the boss comes over, you know, you just do your best. Wherever you work, you start behaving differently. You get his attention. You say, please, here you go. Open the door for him. And only you've done something, you can ask him. The order of from the history, when somebody wants to ask something from the king, first he sent a present to the king. When a queen went to Solomon's house, she brought a lot of gifts first. And why? All the attention of the king was totally different. I don't want to get into that story, but you know, but I'm saying according to the story, she gave him a lot of money. So that's why she was even mentioned in the Bible, because she brought a lot of gifts for him. Before you ask something of the king, she needed to attract king's attention. And this is earthly, just this physical king. We make the step. We do something out of the ordinary that will attract king's attention. My loved ones, you know that in the spiritual world, the same system is working, the same principle in the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, we sit down for years. They taught us, don't move, don't, and everything will come to you doing its time. It's same thing as one guy sits on the bench and waits for a girl to come in, come to his life and sit next to him. This doesn't happen. This is not the principle of life. Something you must do yourself that will get her attention. You will make her love you. How? With your hunger and your attention to her. Amen, church? Same thing happens with the church of Jesus Christ. Why some people walk always in constant glory, always under anointing. Some people just receive a lot of revelations, but other people, they're just suffering and they die. They always stop and they try to attain something, to say something, but nothing works out. Why? Because those people are trying in their flesh to prove that Jesus loves them. And the main thing in our life is, the main thing is not to become a pastor or read the whole Bible from beginning to the end or listen to all the sermons. No, to attract attention of the king. When you will get king's attention, then everything in your life will change. My loved ones, I don't even want to talk about Esther. Remember, I was just in shock. I have a special sermon about this. I don't want to talk about it, but she'd done it the way. So see, the eunuch knew king's taste. And in order for her to attract his attention, she didn't have to think of what she needs to put on herself. She just needed to be friend with one correct person who would tell her what to do. So you don't need to show off. No, because I talk with him who tells me what king wants to see. I don't need to come up or plot anything and to be afraid, what did I say, right or wrong? No, I'm not worrying about this because I know that King loves me, because the one who tells me, he tells me exactly how to look before my King. And this is Holy Spirit who tells you these things. He's always preparing us. He says what's wrong and what's right. We must understand this. In the spiritual world, the same thing. In order to get King's attention, you must be hungry. What is hunger? How does this hunger come? It'll be a good question if you'll ask me this question. And I ask this question. I ask my leaders this question. How do I obtain this hunger or thirst? Have you ever asked this question? Any one of you, I'm pretty sure that you did. Because you want to have this thirst. But how to receive it? How? How do you buy it? Find it or dig it out? Where do I get this thirst? You know, I want to have this, you know, but you know, how do you get this? You know, I'm not hungry, but I want to be hungry. How to obtain that hunger? So and then, you know, because if you don't have it, you want to have it, but if you don't have it, you know, because you understand that, you know, your attention to Him. That's what brings God down from heaven to you. Many years ago, when God told me that the hunger is what you need, and then in the process of many years, you know, the sermon, usually it takes years to complete. You know, some moment comes in life, I ask God, and then do it again and again. And then when I already went through the tests, and that's when I have a right to start preaching it. See, there's a lot of things I'm going through right now, but I cannot talk about them because I'm not done with them yet. But when I will go through them and pass the test, I will preach about them. So the hunger, look, how to determine the caliber of hunger. You will tell me, okay, hunger, you know, we'll get to how do you determine the hunger that you have already. You all have hunger, you understand? Otherwise, you would not be in this church. So all of us, you, me, you, and the children, we all have this hunger on some level. How to determine the caliber, the size of it, how to measure it with a tape measure, with a scale? How do we measure this hunger? You know how? My loved ones, what are you ready to pay for what you want? How much do you want to pay for what you want? And the caliber is determined by the price or readiness of you to pay the price. Example, one more time, I'll explain. Right now, you are dressed in the clothes for which you pay the price. And what you paid for, you're wearing right now. Every single one of you, you are driving the car not on something that you want. You want a lot, definitely, but you drive on the car. No, I'm not. This is just an example. But you drive. I'm just saying you, just to reveal the secret to you. Right now, you drove on a car for which you have paid. You were ready to pay that much. You know that each one of you in this hall, even people, you know, you can get a credit and lend money, and you can buy a Ferrari for $250,000. Anybody can do it. You know, they can give you. You know, you will negotiate with somebody if you want to come to the church in Ferrari. You can do it easily. I know people. Even one time, I went to Seattle one time. You know, I had a very small job. One time I went to, you know, they counted. They said, yeah, your score is a little bit is okay, but yeah, you can drive out a Ferrari. I had easily. You can drive the Ferrari. Yeah, you'll sign everything off. It's like buying a house almost. You know. But why you're not driving that Ferrari? You don't want to pay that much money. You don't want to pay that much. Why do you sit in wearing clothes for $29.99 or $40 for $15? Because you came to Sears or to Macy's or anywhere else in our Russian Sears, and you just said, "I want." You said, "I want to buy this clothing. It's cost $29.99, and I agree." So, to $29.99 for you, it doesn't mean as much as that piece of clothing that you want to buy. If for instance, if that clothing was cheaper than it's worth, you would never buy it. He says, you would say, "I don't think that this like jacket costs that much." So right now, you're clothed, you drive, and you eat only up to the level to which your hunger or how much you wanted to pay for it. You know, in the spiritual world, the same principle works. You are clothed in what? For what you paid. If right now you sit down and you say, I don't have anything, then guess what you paid for it? Nothing. Some people say, in Christ Jesus, everything is for free. No, it's only salvation is for free. The salvation is given to everybody, but salvation and ministry, these are two different things. Why then everyone is saved But the ones who minister is only like three or two people and not even many anointed people. So there is something. If everybody wants to do this, everybody wants to live in a $1 million villa. I want to live. I want to have swimming pool, jacuzzi. I want everything. But I'm not going to buy it. You know why? You know why? Because I don't want to pay that much. I don't want to pay that much. Therefore, for me, the will, it doesn't mean anything yet. Your dream about ministry, if your dreams about being fulfilled don't mean anything until you will sign off a document that says, I agree. I'm talking about spiritual things. I agree to pay for this thing. And in spiritual world, there are no monthly payments. You're buying everything. So a young rich man came to Jesus. What do I need to do to inherit the kingdom? Okay, do this. Love your loved ones. Don't sin. Okay, I've done this. Okay, you're smart. If you want to be perfect. If you want to be perfect. He wanted to be perfect, amen? He wanted to. That's why he came to Jesus Christ. But why, after encounter with Jesus, this rich young guy got a depression, not a breakthrough, because he was not ready to pay for the anointing that God has offered him right there on the spot. And some people, after encounter with God, they're disappointed because when they meet him, he names a price. And people say, for this young man, the encounter was terrible. It was terrible encounter with Jesus, because when he came, he wanted to shake his medals. Jesus told him, it would be better for that young man not to approach Jesus. But since he, in his inside, he had a thirst, it brought him to Jesus. But his thirst was only enough to fulfill the law, but to become a perfect and enter into Jesus' esteem, he did not want to pay the price. And it was difficult. It's difficult for a rich man to enter in the kingdom because there's something that holds him back. Right now, all of us, you and I, in physical world, we have for what everything that we paid for, and our will or wish does not change my Toyota to Mercedes, amen? Mercedes? No, it doesn't happen like that. I open the garage and there's a Toyota there, still. My loved ones. We must understand, the wish does not change things. Everything that we do in our church, it's a spiritual lust in our churches. I want you, Lord. I want you, Lord. I want everything, Lord. Whatever, Lord, you'll tell me, I want it. I want this, I want this, and I want this. And everything that they have, I want to have too. But when the time comes to pay for it, oh, Jesus, you know, can you, like, give me a discount here? We're yours. See, Jesus doesn't have that. You only have for what you paid for. And many people whine, oh, I have no breakthrough. Do you want it? Do you want breakthrough? I have a breakthrough because I don't want to live without a breakthrough. I want anointing. Where is it? You don't have it because you're not asking. And if you do ask, it's for only to fulfill your lusts or for yourself. That's why Jesus said, "Why?" That's why we don't have things. My loved ones, are you receiving anything today? Are you, oh, you grew up enough to understand this? Oh, Jesus. These, right now, in the spiritual world, all of us, I, and everyone who's saved by Jesus Christ, we only walk in that to which our hunger brought us. Right now, you can analyze what your hunger has done with you. I understand that your hunger brought you here. But now I'm telling you that your hunger cannot remain just in this church. Church will not do anything for you. this building has no meaning in your progress. Your will does not change. Your wish does not change your condition to your dreams and your prayers. They don't mean anything. They just make you purer, stronger, but they do not draw you near God. The hunger, what brings God near you. How to receive this hunger? I want hunger. Do you want hunger? Oh, my loved ones, I walk in hunger every time. I want more of hunger because I know this. It's like wife comes or you come from a long trip, 2 week trip, and you walk in a house and you can smell her fragrance. And you all know what happens next. You follow the smell. You follow the fragrance. With God, it's the same thing that works. God is attracted by this fragrance, this hunger. When a hungry man just got a grip on God and says, God, I will not leave you until you bless me. And God blesses. Elijah stands next to the altar and says, Lord, I have done everything. And the fire came down. What makes God to come down from heaven and perform miracles before your eyes? What makes God to give to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to give them clothes that did not burn into the furnace? What gave Daniel an opportunity to be amid the lions and survive? What is happening? What's happening that these people have something different? They have something that attracts God Himself to them, my loved ones. It's hunger. I want you to be hungry for God. So you and I, in order for us to have something, you know how this hunger comes? It comes only, listen to me very carefully, it comes only when you see it first. You understand me? I explain, as usually. You sit down and you watch a movie. And some show, some action movie, somebody's shooting up and you sit there, wow, wow, wow. And you're like all into it. And as usually, on the very interesting interesting moment, they cut the movie off. And what's going after that? Commercial. And you didn't want anything, and all of a sudden it's in such a huge picture. You see a burger, it's juicy, it's a huge burger. All of a sudden you start smelling it, but if you have a plasma TV, you know you cannot even watch it because you can eat it right there in TV. And from this, and you know, that movie was so interesting for you until you've seen a pizza. It's stretching. The cheese is stretching. Oh, cheese and everything. Oh, everything is so good. And I give you a guarantee, all of you are just going to start eating pizza and burgers. But I didn't show you anything. I just told you about it. But you know, right now, when you will exit, you will, after the church, you'll say, I want pizza. Why do you want it? I want it too. Yeah, I wanted to because I just told you about it and it made me hungry too. You've seen it. Amen? See, the will and the hunger depends from our vision, from our regular vision. With God, my loved ones, the principle is identical. So something would come into your life first, you have to see it. Amen? You wanna. How can I wish for it when God will show it to you, my loved ones? I'm telling you all the secrets right now. I'm telling you who I am. I'm telling you why I'm here like this, the way I am. I'm telling you because I went through this. I did not read about this. No, this I lived through this. This hunger that pulls me farther and farther. It's Him because I see more and I want more. And I'm going farther because I've seen something that does not make me content anymore. I want to have more. you and I, we were in Russia, Ukraine, in former Soviet Union, and we all dreamed, at least men did, you know, we dreamed, if you're under 30 and you dreamed about like a bicycle or something, or a small little bicycle, other bicycle, and you dreamed, about like this small Russian car, or even smaller car, like this, he's talking about Russian cars, small ones. Do you want it now? Do you want that little small bicycle? How about a bicycle that's called Ukraine? Or maybe you want to buy that watch, that small watch that they used to sell in the electronics store that never worked. I wanted to have watch, and all of a sudden, grandma gives me watch. Electronic watch. Right now, I don't want them. Why do I need it? My loved ones, when you came here, you know why you didn't want one of those old cars? Because you've seen that there's a mountain bike, $250. You look at it and you go, wow, what can you do on this bike? Even if you wanted a bicycle, you don't want that one anymore. You don't want to have that old Ukrainian bicycle anymore. Here you've seen just a simple Chevrolet, 100 times better than, you know, our cars over there that we used to have. And now we understand why you don't want that anymore, because you've seen something else. And it gave you a hunger and thirst. Now you want it. You'll see something better, you'll want something better. Amen? Yeah, you can want all you want. But now there's a different moment that is turned on. Okay, hunger comes from the vision. And from vision, the will comes, okay? And in order for us to see and to wish for something, now you need to pay for it. And now my caliber is being determined. What am I ready to pay for this? Let's read one passage from the scripture. You'll be amazed. We read it all the time. But I will prove it to you one more time that in the life of Christian, everything comes from what you see. You see, you wish for it, you want it, and it comes. Look, let's read Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Verse 44. And also, it is like a man going. Oh no. It's a man who's seen a treasure hidden in the field. In order. First, you need to find it. And when a person finds that treasure, he hid it, and he goes and he sells everything that he has, and he buys that field. So look, would that man buy that field if he didn't see the treasure on that field? How can he sell everything and buy a piece of some land? Why? What for? For me, everything is... You know, for me, everything I value more than that field. But when I see, I wanted it. And when, why is the kingdom of God? Look, one more time. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure. It's like a treasure. It's not written that the kingdom of God is free and given to everybody. It's not written that it's on every corner you can obtain for free and have it and do whatever you want with it. No. So you need to find that treasure. You need to buy that treasure. And it's called the kingdom of heaven. We're not talking about salvation right now. We talk about what you want to have. About what you, in order to have the kingdom of God. And for each one of you, the kingdom of heaven is different. For me, the kingdom of heaven is thousands and thousands of saved people. For you, it may be business that will support some missionaries or churches or buildings. And that may be kingdom of heaven for you. For some, it's to become a missionary and to or to become a musician or anything. That's your kingdom of heaven. And not just playing three chords, but playing the way so the glory of God would come down. Each musician, if he's a serious musician, he must write at least one song in his life that will change the lives of people who will hear it. Each missionary must accomplish something in his life that will bring God from heaven. Each preacher and pastor, he needs to say a sermon that will change multitudes of people. Otherwise, you're just taking place that is not yours. It determines your caliber is being determined by your anointing. It's determined by your hunger. Your hunger brings God from heaven, and he's doing what he needs to do. Treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has. So how much does it cost for me? How much everything costs for me? You want to have success? All my loved ones, when God will tell you, you must. I don't know what he will tell you to give. He will tell you to give everything. For some people, you know what everything is. We'll read it. It's your favorite thing that you love the most. You know, God, you know, we'll get to Abraham. God didn't have to take everything from Abraham. His everything was, you know where? In his son. You understand what I'm talking about? Abraham, when we talk about you need to give everything, don't be afraid, my loved ones. Don't be afraid. Some people, everything, I'm not ready. What is, you know, I only have a pants and a jacket. That's it. When I say everything, my loved ones, it's something in which you have everything. For example, Abraham, everything was in his son. He didn't care about Sarah. You know, when something happens, you know, remember when he even said, you know, oh, she's not my wife. You remember that instance? I don't understand. I don't know. Yeah, you know, no, she's not. She's just a woman. Who is she? She's my sister. You want her? Yeah, take her. And, you know, he took it. And when he only wanted to get married to her, you know, the poor Pharaoh was in shock. All of a sudden, God didn't know what to do. You know, he gave his wife away. Can you imagine? You understand that in the eyes of Abraham, you know, she's a wife. Well, whatever, I'll have another one, right? If God told him to put Sarah on the altar, you understand? It would be, the reaction would be, you know what I mean. You know, I'm at home. Sarah would be quickly be sacrificed. Right now, Lord, come here, Sarah. I would sacrifice. I have a revelation. The Lord says, no. He says, your everything was in his son. So what is your everything? When God told a rich young man to say, in order to become perfect and to be with Jesus and his team, he says, go follow me. Become one of these people. Peter, Andre, Andrew, you know, they gave up everything. Their everything was in their business, which they gave away. I'm pretty sure they did not remove their shoes and gave away their pants and the whole, and everything else. We're talking about their everything was right there. So never be afraid when I say God will take everything. He didn't take everything from me. He only took from me where my heart was. So that's where the cutoff point is. And remember, we spoke about Jacob, that lied a lot. Remember when he found out that his brother, remember when he was meeting his brother, he sent his wife and children first. See, man, they're very interesting people. He says, okay, let them meet with flowers and we're going to be here behind. What's going to happen there in the front? So we understand that God didn't need that. And when we understand these things, God knows what you will give this away. You will give away your car because, you know, you can get a better one. You and I were people, oh, Lord wants my car. Please take it, Lord. Honda, 280,000 on the mileage. You know, God take it. We understand. You know, no. Your everything is in in that one particular thing. That one small thing God will ask you to give away. You don't want to give it away. I know. That, you know. You know why God demands everything of yours? Because He never... Because He'll never demand anything that He cannot do Himself. God will never demand something from you which He cannot, which He did not do Himself. He tells you to forgive you to 7 times 70 per day. You know, if you can forgive that much, He would increase the number for you too. God, some people say, you know, God has no sense of humor. You know, He comes to Peter, you know, and so the Peter comes and brings Andrew with him. Hey, Lord, how many times do we need to forgive our brother? Up to 7 times? God quickly multiplied that number, multiplied it by 40. Whoa. And now telling me that Jesus doesn't have sense of humor. Just imagine, you know, how many times, you know, I have to forgive people, how many times they have to sin against me so I can forgive this much. We must understand these things, church. That Jesus never, Jesus doesn't demand anything that He cannot do Himself. You understand? If He tells you to forgive, then it means He's forgiven Himself. If He asks you to do something, it means He's done it Himself already. The second half of this parable is identical. But now the kingdom of God, it was like a treasure hidden in the field. Kingdom in this part, it was like a treasure that I found and I paid a price for it. The second part pertains to other things. Listen very carefully. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant. Now it's not filled with a treasure. Now it's a merchant. And here Jesus says His side of the story. Seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Well, didn't God paid everything, gave everything for you? And on the first service, one time, I had a meeting with a Satanist, son of bishop in New York Church. He is completely sold out to Satan. You know, he's not like a small rank one. No, I'm talking about he's a real, with all the manifestations and everything. He signed his life with blood. You know, he doesn't. And I had a conversation with him. I already talked about it before. Few times he came to like a club and when we preached, and he told me, "Your God is a shameful. Jesus Christ, he's ashamed." And God is even worse. You know why? Because no normal person will throw his son to dogs to be killed. A real father will never do this. And I stand there in dilemma. I said, "Lord, if I will have nothing to answer, you know, I said, "Lord, I have nothing to answer, you know, and please give me something to say, because if he will not put me down on this knee, on my knees." And I said, "Lord," and in the instant, Lord showed me. I'm the father, and I have a son, and he shows me the story, and he says, "Just imagine, your son has got into an accident, and you know this. What would you do? Would you give this to him? Give this, let this happen to him? Or will you do it instead of him if you had the opportunity?" See, I didn't even have, I said, you know, if I'm a normal father, I would do it instead of him. I would rather, you know, any danger, I would be the first one to substitute my son. So what happened? So what has happened? God's love is so high. I said, you know, you didn't understand God. You are father. No, I said, I am a father. I have a son. You know, whenever something happens, I would take my son's place and die. But God's love is proved that He gave His son, and He's seen how His son was dying. And in the last moment, even in the father couldn't take it no more. When Jesus screamed, "Father, Father, why did you leave me?" Because Lord could not watch His son to die. So the God's love has been proven. Not that God didn't go by himself, but he sent his son. So this is the highest love. You know, it was even more painful for him to see his son to suffer. So my loved ones, if God wants something, if we want something from God, and if we want to be in his kingdom, you understand that you and I, we need to understand that God needs a commitment in any realm or sphere. You know what, from your refrigerator, only your children will eat. And we also understand that my son, he can come to me, he can get the candies out of my, out of my briefcase. And then, you know, nobody else can do that, you know, because he's my son. So, you know what makes him son? It makes him that I gave birth to him. What makes us children of God? Because we gave ourselves to God and now we're born from him. We must understand also that these things, they're allowed only for children. Only children have access to the house of the Lord and to the treasures of the Father. Look, the world is already found out how to make a person hungry. Though this world understood the secret. If you knew how much revelations I receive, not from the Bible. Bible, then I open the Bible and say, wow, it's already in the Bible. But we Christians, we don't understand this. For a long time ago, people who don't believe in God, they have nothing in common with God. They already understand the essence of the human being, and they know that this advertisement is moving. It's moving everything. You know, if we will remove emblems from all the cars, what will happen? Nobody will know what to buy and where to get, and what to expect. There is no advertisement. The products are not being bought because you don't see. If you don't see, you don't want it. And this is where the secret is. In order to want something, you need to see it, and to receive it, you need to pay for it. You know, my prayer to God is what I pray to God like. God, show me. My loved ones, in order for you and I to obtain something in life, we must a supernatural hunger. Some people say, I'm in the desert, I'm in depression, I'm going through a difficult time. This is from the devil. God never brings you into depression. God never tempts you, because God does not tempt you, because he doesn't have evil. You know what desert does? You know what desert did with Jesus? It made him hungry. When he became hungry, all of a sudden it was enough for him. The hunger came so much upon him that he could take it no more. The desert in your life only supposed to make you so hungry that you cannot take it anymore. And now without us, you cannot be anymore. First, he was offered like some breads, and then devil offered him glory. But when his own hunger came, Jesus could not take it anymore. The desert will only bring you to the moment so you would be broken inside. And now you say, I cannot live without this anymore. When my desert brought me into this condition, and we all must go through it. You know why? Israel did not go into promised land because their desert did not make them hungry. Their mentality of servants or slaves, it did not allow them. They brought these fruits, the grapes and everything else. They brought them. They've seen it, and they said 100% there is milk and honey, but this is impossible for us to get. You know why? Because they were not ready to pay that price. They said, we don't want it. We're falling back. We're not agreeing. The manna was only for the transition from Egypt to the promised land. But they agreed to eat that manna for 40 years. I'm telling you, my loved ones, we're eating manna. Sometimes Sometimes we don't eat from his table. Sometimes we eat a little bit here or there. Yeah, it's from God. A little bit here, read a little bit here, receive a small revelation. But you're not living, you're just existing. That's not where you're supposed to be, church. You understand me? You must come out of this. You must be eating from the promised land. But in order to eat from promised land, you must be hungry for, become hungry to be in there. And in order to build yourself a house in the promised land, you must fight somebody in that land first. First, you must accomplish something in this promised land to have it. You know, when Jesus came to me in the 1992, and he told me to grab his hands. I already told the story before. I took him by his fingertips, and this warm oil came into me, anointing oil came into me. I don't know how to explain this. It was like an anointing oil. It was warm. And when he took me, and I entered into him, and in him, I didn't understand. I've seen all my future. I've seen all the saved people. I've seen 100,000, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people that were saved. And Jesus told me, "You want this?" I said, "Yes, Lord." And then he started showing me the price. When he showed me all the price that needed to be paid, when I said at the end, "Yes," then he removed his hands from me, and I forgot everything, because I cannot know this, because it'll hinder me. So I cried for a few months to give it back to him, everything that I've seen. But Jesus didn't do it. He forbade me to do this. Only one picture remained the same. It's thousands of people. How forgot to show you something that did not exist, does not exist yet. Remember Abraham. I'll be talking very quickly, don't have much time. He told Abraham, "Do you see these stars? You know the nation was not saved yet. How to show you what doesn't is not there yet? You need to be with God." My loved ones, if you want to see how to receive hunger, ask him to show you. For this, you must be separate from your friends, from all the restaurants and everything. You must be one-on-one with God for a certain period of time and tell him honestly, "God, show me." And what he will show you will make you. What he showed me, that's what right now is in front of you stands. But if I did not see this, I would never attain this. You hear me? How can I be somebody who I don't know? He showed it to me who I needs to be. And this is a supernatural thing. And supernatural person. And God needed Abraham to become fathers of millions. How to show it to him? God has stars, amen? Abraham, come here. You see these stars? Yes. That's how many descendants you will have. And the other ones, do you see the sand here? This is your generation that will come after you. The hunger came, and after the hunger came to Abraham, the price came. Listen very carefully. Let's read this. Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. "Now it came to pass after these things that God has tested, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. Then he said, Take now your son," listen very carefully, "your only son Isaac, whom you love." Wow, this is where the secret is. Take him and give him away. And then we ask God a question. "Lord, I want your wish." I will repeat one more time. You can sit here and you will want all the universe and salvation of all the universe, but you don't have a single person who's saved because you don't want to pay the price. You have only what you paid for. You will move only in that which you paid for. And in the spiritual world, you cannot take a position without paying a price for it. Listen very carefully. You know that many people can take pulpit. They can stand open. They can become pastor in the instant. You know, it'll be easy to copy me. You know, this jacket doesn't cost much. You know, this pulpit is cheap. You know, buy a microphone. You know, and you can scream, and everybody knows how to scream. And now you have copied me. But what? But is this me? Is this me? Is this body or this microphone or this pulpit? Is it me or my ministry? No, it's the instrument. So to give what's inside. I can come out and remove the microphone, stand on the mountain and scream without a microphone, and the same things will happen. So this does not make me me. What's inside of me makes me who I am. And what I have inside was purchased when Jesus came to me and asked me, are you ready to pay to sacrifice this? Are you ready to lose all your friends? All friends? Yes, all. And mom? Yes, even mom. I can't. Then you will not receive this. My loved ones, you know, I'm not naming the price. I cannot come to Jesus and say to his dealership and say, Lord, I want this, Jesus. But you know that this for me, it's too much. Let's make a deal. Let's make a bargain. I will not give you what's there. I'll give you a little bit less. Can you give me a discount because I'm your son? No, the full price must be paid. And that young rich man turned away and he was saddened. He was not ready to pay the price. Do you want to believe this or not? You are in the place to which your hunger brought you. And your hunger is based only on what you've seen. And in order for your hunger to become big, you must see something big. And you will see something big. He'll tell you to pay. I'll tell you, this sermon is not for the children. This is for those only who want it for real. You can get out and make yourself an anointed one in 1 second, but this will not get you far. You can fake it, and it'll be taken away from you. How many times I've seen churches that were open and closed? Who've seen them? At least a couple. All of us. You were maybe went to these churches. You've seen these things or even heard about them. What is this? It's when a person, you know what it's called? It's called a spiritual stealing. You jumped into the car without paying for it. Sooner or later, the car will be repossessed, my loved ones. But if I paid for this car, it's impossible for me. It's even funny that somebody would come to me and says, you know, we were not listening to you starting next Sunday. We renounce your doctrine and we close your church and we're removing you from your position. You know, but how can you? There are things that were, you know, it was paid for not with money, but with a heart, with a life, with a thirst, and you cannot do anything with it. And even on the North Poles, I will bring the bears to Jesus and they will repent if there was nobody else. What is this? It's a talent. It's everywhere is a talent, my loved ones. If you're a professional builder, I already spoke about this. Will you build a cool house in Ukraine? Yeah, giving you a material. See, I have a simple material. This is all I need. You know, I have the coolest business right here. This is all my material. I can go anywhere with it. Send me anywhere. Ukraine, Belarus, Germany. I'll open church there. Not because I have supernatural will to open churches. No, this anointing will bring people to me. You start attracting people. If you're a businessman, you know, the deals will come to you, church. They will look for you if you're a businessman from God. You hear me? They will call you up. They will search for you because you've been established by God to do these things. If you're a singer, you won't need to say, oh, please buy a CD, please buy a CD. You know, your schedule will be full. And because people want to buy. Are you receiving it today? Hunger, thirst, price. I know it's difficult to hear a sermon. We want some simple and light. You know, about $3. You know, you come you buy it, and before you got home, it broke down. You know, this is how it is. How much you pay for it, that's how it works. In my life, there is no breakthrough. You don't want a breakthrough. In my life, there's a depression. You love it, and you don't want to get out of it. I can't. Yes, you can. You're lying. You just don't want to. I'm seriously telling you, church, everything is in your hands. I renounce to live in depression, even for one day in my life. There is no depression for many years at all. Why? Because I said, even not even symptoms of depression I accept. My loved ones, I only have what I agree to have, and I don't have what I don't agree to have. It's a spiritual law. It's a spiritual law. I don't know. Then you don't want to know. I can't. You don't want to be able to do it. You don't want to. Please pray for me. I fell. I've fallen. You don't want to stand. I want to stand. If I will fall down, I don't want anybody to pray for me. I will stand up by myself. And next time, I will become stronger because I renounce from falling down. I hate falling down. I hate depression. I hate failures. I hate unsuccessfulness. I want blessing. You with your, you will start attracting all this. God's attention will be attracted to you with this hunger, and you won't understand why everything, you won't understand why you're different from everybody else, because you're producing a different fragrance. You attract God's attention, and we see in the Bible, I just don't have time, I'm finishing it up. How many people attracted God's attention? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were teenagers. They were brought young into that land. And the three guys said, we are not going to bow down before this idol. You know why they said this? Because they were hungry for God. They said, we will never bow down before this. We have a real God. And see, even the fire had no authority over them. You know, in our days, I know people who were casted, they were casted into prison. And then brought them outside in the sub-zero temperature. And when, I know these people, and they try to freeze them, but nothing happened. I'm not lying. They tried to freeze us and to destroy us. When they threw us on the ice, you know, the ice was thawing out around. There was sub-zero temperatures, but, you know, the ice was thawing out because something was in these people that they even changed the temperature. So this is what the Christian person is. This is what I follow God. And my God, He's a live God. Amen. My God is almighty. He can change not just the temperature. He can change the nation, my nation. And I want this to happen. I want it so much that I will give everything. And you will become like this. You'll become the same. You cannot be around a hungry man and be not hungry. You'll say, I cannot listen to this. I'm the same way. That's why I'm here. Maybe you cannot express yourself like I am, but your heart is the same. You have the same heart. You're here because you're tired of everything. You want changes, my loved ones. So begin to make changes. So just begin to make changes, and that's it. I want God, and I will not leave Him until He comes to me. You think I'm different from you? No, I'm not. You can become the same as me. I give you a guarantee, please. People want to put me in a category of some supernatural gifts. No, I have a natural. I just have a regular gift. God can take your gift and make it supernatural. Because he got your attention. Church, are you receiving it today?